Welcome to the Villains Talk Show. I'm C4 with Sarah Vike, usually with Insaniac, Sir Jeremy, and the Great Grease Goblin. But due to things easing up here in Alberta, everyone's actually going back to work, so some late nights. Good thing is being a restaurant and bar owner myself, is my hours don't change. I have been working this whole time. I have had to wash my hands. I could get into it. It's been rough, but I serve truckers, so I haven't really had a chance to close. So I understand. Therefore, instead of what we've been doing for the last couple weeks, where we've been playing games while we talk, we're just going to have a conversation between me and Sarah and you guys. It's been a while since we did that. So, yeah. Also, it's nice to see Sarah's face again. Hello again.
Face again. It's been a while.
I know. I've missed your face, I gotta be honest.
I saw Jeremy's face, like, for real, in real life on Thursday, and that was exciting.
Did you wear a mask?
Obviously.
Good. That was like a no-brainer question. Anyway.
It was just technically the only face I'm allowed to see on a regular basis right now is my husband's. And he's got a nice face, but still, it's a lot of one face.
Oh, you like your husband's face. Oh, that's good. That's a good development.
I do, but like the beard is a little much. Not a fan of it.
Ah, you're not a beard lady.
I like the face. It's hidden though behind the beard.
Well, I mean, there's the good old, you know, get it stuck with like glue and stuff, so he has to shave it kind of thing.
I don't think that would work. He would just get mad. He really likes his beard. I'm sure you've noticed.
I do. I've known him a long time. I remember when he had such a baby face. Ugh.
I loved that baby face, man. And I married that baby face. And now it's a beard face.
Where was the baby-faced redhead I met back when we were young?
Right?
Whisked me off my feet. I like the difference in aesthetics, too. I didn't notice your background till now with, like, all the luggage and stuff. Doomsday packing are we?
We don't have a lot of storage space in our house, so this is actually, you may not be able to tell, this is actually my bedroom. My bed's like right there. But just that one corner is the one space we have to put that, so that's where it lives.
Oh yeah, that's right. I always forget that you guys have different rooms and then, yeah. Like old-timey. Right? Old-timey. You're so old-timey for such young people.
We've been married 7.5 years now, and for the first 4 years he shared a room, because I mean that's what you do when you're married, right? And for 4 years I just kind of didn't sleep, because I'm a super light sleeper and Jan snores and he twitches and he steals the bed, and it just didn't work. So I came to a point where I realized that I was happier on the nights that he stayed over at a friend's house than I was on the nights that he stayed home, and that didn't seem healthy. So we got a second bed, and I moved into the spare room, and it's been great ever since. I sleep now.
That actually makes so much sense. Now, that being said, just a kind of a segue to that. That was a perfect segue, Sarah. Thank you for that. Today we're talking about first world problems. First world problem. Can't sleep with your significant other in your bed. So what do? Buy a whole nother bed. No. I mean, I'm so glad it worked, but like, talk about like, thank you. I couldn't have asked for a better segue of a first world problem. Ah, me and my husband just could not share a bed together, so I just bought a second bed.
Exactly. I mean, but it worked. But
to really think, like, the reason I wanted to talk about it is because we always make fun of first world problems, but how often do you actually think about them? Like, how many, yeah, like,
total.
Like, and they're really first world problems. I mean, I've seen.
I'm like, I don't feel like eating this thing in my fridge, so I'm going to eat this thing in my fridge. Or like, I don't feel like eating this thing in my fridge, so I'm going to call in delivery.
And I like to think that I like, for a while, so when I went to sea and came back, I remember I was so aware of it all the time. All these little things. I'd be like, why? You have perfectly good food in the fridge. Or like, why would you order food when it You can just walk two blocks and it's cheaper. Like, I remember coming back and that's all I could think about. And then over time, it just, you're right. Like, it ground out. Like, especially, like, it's minus 30 last week. So, what do I do? Instead of going a block to A&W, I'm like, fuck it. Skip the dishes. Bring me my
Yeah.
food.
Exactly.
It's just, yeah, no, and it's funny how, and the only reason I even thought about it is because I was thinking about that the other day, and then Insaniac brought it up this morning in our chat, and I was like, yeah, so many first world problems.
It's true. I'm gonna take push to talk and just go on voice activity. Let me know if there's an echo.
Okay. And one of my favorites, and I mean the most prevalent right now, you could say, is, I mean, with COVID, like how many people are just not going outside with masks or going into places with masks? I mean,
Yeah.
and all the other shit aside, if you're looking at me and you live in North America and you're telling me whatever reason you don't wear a mask, that sounds like a first world problem. Like, really?
So
Really? Oh, I'm
I actually
sorry
have
to
something
inconvenience your
to
busy life by wearing a mask. Oh, Jesus.
So something about this actually just came up in the chat I was in with people like an hour ago.
Oh,
So in
perfect.
Alberta right now, so as you know, and maybe some of the people watching this do, but probably not everyone, I am a Christian. I got a church. Right now in our province, churches are allowed to have 15% capacity. There have been several churches that have been breaking that and saying it goes against our beliefs, it goes against our religion to limit capacity or to wear masks. And it has been driving me crazy. What are you doing? There was a church in Edmonton this week where the pastor repeatedly held large services and got arrested. And everyone's been complaining about that. And a church a little closer to home this week, today, had a large service in protest of that, where they actually had someone posted at the door to keep out the media. And the way that they talk about it, it drives me crazy because the way that they talk about it, they're
Oh.
talking about it like this is a massive persecution against Christians and against faith, and it's going against our freedom of religion. And some of them just mean like the limits on the number of people, but some of them also mean masks and social distancing. And it drives me crazy because it's not. And to say that that is persecution against the church just devalues the real persecution that happens in the world.
So, just to preface what I'm about to say to everyone in the audience who's watching, a lot of people don't realize that people like to consider people in Western Canada, not BC, but the other half of Western Canada, they seem to call us rednecks. And although I'm sure if you've watched the show for some time or you seem to get to know us, we are not those, but we're all from this place. However, there are people who definitely embody this, and when I hear what Sarah's telling me, it just gives everyone in my province a bad name. It's like if you live in
Why do
Texas
you think you?
and you're a sane person and everyone around you's a crazy redneck, and your town gets reported on as being a bunch of crazy rednecks, and you're like, I live here, I'm fine. Why, everyone I know is fine. Where do the crazy people live? Why are they always on TV?
Unfortunately, I know where the crazy people live, but
That sounds like a really
there's a
like
reason I don't share that show on my Facebook.
sounds like a horror version of Where the Wild Things Are. I know where the crazy people live. Come with me on a tour.
Yeah.
On that note, just to add to that, a story my sister told me once. She worked on behalf, she still works on behalf of an energy company. The energy company goes out to different places in the United States, and tries to convince farmers in good wind, in good wind areas, like windy areas, to get wind generators put on. They don't do anything. All it is just takes up land, but they get money for it. My sister's company pays for it, and then they maintain it. The farmer has to do nothing, but they get money for it because it's on their land. But to do this, she had to go to different places and actually like talk to the farmers. Okay, so she had done this all across the states and had no problem. And then she gets to Ohio, and oh boy, does she have some funny stories about that province. State. Because she goes there, and apparently there, the first time it happened, she thought it was weird. Second time it happened at the second house, right away, she thought something was up. And then when it happened at every house she visited, she had a problem. And that was, she'd show up at the house, and if the husband was there, he'd sit and he'd talk with her, and the wife would sit there beside him, okay? Or if she got to the house and it was just the wife there, she'd be like, oh, you have to wait for my husband. And she would send her off. And then she started realizing that every time she met with the husbands, even when she came back, the wife was always there.
Always. Because she's a woman.
And not just that, she wasn't married.
Yep.
And she found this out after one lady told her that after one farmer said, oh no, I'm not putting those up. Those things are mind control things. And she's like, what? And she's like, yeah, they use them to control your mind, and started yelling at her. And then the wife got into it and said, well, you're not married. You're trying to steal my husband. Get off our property. And she realized, yeah, no, that was a thing.
Oh,
that was a thing.
That hurts.
Yep.
Oh.
This wasn't that long ago either. That's a thing. Oh,
is that we have Sir Jeremy?
Is that a Sir Jeremy? Did he join us? By God! Maybe. By gosh! By golly!
We thought it was just going to be us, but it would be super exciting to have a third voice.
We're just going to keep talking as if that one isn't there.
Perhaps
anyway,
you live here.
Beside that rude interruption. Oh,
there's sound. No voice, but sound.
But
voice.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's actually... hello, Sir Jeremy. Welcome to the conversation. We're just talking about rednecks in Ohio. Hello.
Rednecks? Oh.
Yeah,
rednecks. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That sleeps together, that stays together.
I was going to say, you know...
Because she wasn't married.
I was going to say, you know...
Speak
to the devil and the devil rears his head kind of thing. We're talking about rednecks in Ohio and... Never mind. How are you? Welcome to the chat about first world problems. As he goes silent. How was your move? I know you moved recently. I wasn't there.
It was quick and painless. It was very, very quick and painless.
You are so easy to move.
I know. I've cultivated what I have.
It's brilliant.
I have like a dining set and a couch too, and a coffee table, but that's all in my brother's living room in his garage. That's why we did those chairs in the last load, because he did those four chairs to his house, because that's part of the dining set.
That makes sense.
That's good. I was gonna say, how was and the internet was good? Internet was set up?
Yeah, it was already set up when I showed up. I didn't know if it was ours right away, but because the way sometimes when Justin talks about things, I have to double check about what he means. I get confused with his.
I understand that. Me too.
You have to be direct with him. Very direct.
Oh, I understood that. I get that right away.
Yes, you have to tell him right.
Me definitely along very well.
Because if you don't tell him directly,
he's actually really really good guy.
Oh yeah, totally. It's one of my best.
No, friends. It was more like the way he was talking about things. I misunderstood what the way he phrased what he was saying. Other than that, that was great.
That's good.
But yeah, no, that was all it was. And then you're right, he's like never here. He takes his cat with him everywhere he goes to.
Yeah, he's always at his girlfriend's house.
Oh, well, that's ideal.
That being said, first world problems, Jeremy, not being without internet. I had an interesting angle of this story because let me tell you this. So I was hanging out with Justin the other day, and he was talking to me about this, about the internet. And he's like, does Jeremy really need internet? Like, does he need it? And I'm like, and I look at him and go, well, why would you say that? He's like, well, sorry?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, but yeah. So, and I look at him and I say, no, he just probably asking about the internet. And he starts showing me these texts. He's like, are you sure, man? I think he's expecting like this. And I'm like, do you not have internet? And he's like, no, I don't. Does Jeremy know that? Oh, good. Maybe should tell him that.
No, we talked about it. That's why I mentioned it. No, he's like, I have no internet. Well, the first time I sat down with him when I came over here, he's like, yeah, I have no internet, but if you want it, we can like set it up. And then I tried talking to him about, I think we were getting, so he got Shaw 300. I think me and Kara had 120. That's why it was cheaper. So
300 is nice, though.
I'm okay with that, though. Yeah, no, 300 is nice, so I'm okay with that.
That's what I'm running.
I mean, our bill was like $60 with the internet, but this one's like 120 or 110 or something like that, he said. So I'm fine with that. I'm 100% okay with that.
I would like to say how on topic our conversation is right now, talking about our internet quality. it's so nice to have limitless internet. Ah,
exactly.
As opposed to 120. Who needs that number?
How are the cats, Jeremy? Do they get along?
I was actually just saying that before, too. His cat is like the perfect patience for my cat.
Aw, she's so cute and so little.
Nora's pretty adorable. She hisses at me sometimes when I pick her up, and like, so she jumps up into Shadow's food. I like pick her up. I'm like, no. And she's like, hisses in my face. And I'm like, aw, you're not even aggressive, but you're trying to be. And I like poke her right in the nose. And this little kitten, she's like,
oh, that's adorable.
I'm hungry.
So I just kind of like, I like turn and I like hold her out, and she just leaps from my paws and like looks at me and just glares at me like, you should feed me too.
Aww.
She's pretty adorable. Yeah.
Aww. That's fantastic.
Well, that's good. So tell us about the bar scene, you know, since we're talking about first world problems, all the people rushing to the bars. How packed is your work? I've seen some places already get shut down because, you know, people need their drinks in social settings. Yeah.
Yeah, because people are dumb. Yeah. No, we were even smart enough that, like, I didn't realize that our bar was shut down only because we didn't have the plastic dividers. But we got we legit just got our plastic dividers, so we actually allowed people to sit, and it's only two at a time at the bar. Mm-hmm. You can't sit with more than two people. And you have to sit between these plastic dividers, and like, yeah, we didn't have the whole stands. It's like legit, like 2-inch plexiglass sitting on a stand that like hangs out over the bar, so that like there's 2 feet between, at least between you and the person next to you on the stool, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds thrilling.
It's hilarious. I've almost run into a few of them just trying to walk around the bar. Like, they're unwieldy and retarded, but...
I bet.
I mean, what you do, what you gotta do.
Mm-hmm.
Our new bartender is chill as fuck, though. We got a new bartender, a new cook, and a new server. And the new server is sister-in-law, I think, to a current server.
Mm-hmm.
The new bartender comes from Kildare's, which apparently we keep switching employees with, like a bunch of our employees that got fired went there, and a bunch of their employees that thought that place was shitty came here. So that's the shithole.
Oh.
And they're worth a step up, apparently.
That works.
So yeah, he came there. He's chill as fuck. And then our cook was like a regular slash friends with a bunch of servers. And it turns out, like, her name is Jess, and she was told that she was friends with Jessica from out front. And Jessica is the, we call her the half cunt, because generally she's chill to your fame manager when she's been told numerous times that she's not.
You kind of cut out.
She's that little girl in fourth grade class that used to rat you out for everything.
Ah, yes. One of those employees. Yes. I love being the boss, because when they try to do that to me, they realize who they're ratting them out to is the person under me. And I'm like, oh, good. I'm so glad they couldn't talk to their boss.
Right.
Especially when I have new employees and they don't realize.
She's been trying to get management for forever, but everybody... like, basically told people they'd quit if she ever got, like, a step up in any way. So we butt heads from time to time. Because I'm a stubborn bastard, and I don't just listen to servers. I'm sorry. Servers don't command me.
Yes,
you have an issue with me, you can talk to my boss. Because my boss is the one who sets down the rules. And if I'm laying down a rule, it's because my boss said that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, if I have to be an asshole, that's what I have to do.
I have a new cook, actually, too.
Fuck your shit. And she's the one who got Andrew fired for her. So we had mustard on our side, and we have Dijon in the fucking server cooler. And the servers were fucking told if they wanted to, we actually got rid of Dijon. This is actually the reasons Ben got rid of Dijon. We don't have Dijon in the building anymore, for as far as the servers know. Because if they wanted it, they were told us in the fucking fridge they can get it their own fucking selves. They're lazy bitches and they make fucking more than we do. Cunts can go get their own shit. Same with ketchup. They keep trying to put it in bottles and stick it in our fridge, and we're like, no, I'm sorry, that's not my job. You can do ketchup yourself. Like the fucking little ramekin of ketchup on the side of every fry that goes out. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, that's your job. You can do that job because you make more than I do. Almost doubly what I do. I hear these servers taking home $2,500 a month. That's I am making two-thirds what you do.
Yep. That's why.
So you can do one-third extra effort. I am happy to listen to you bitch about it.
I just hired a new cook, too.
And my boss has given me 100% full support. This chick has tried to go against me, and she will never get me fired. And it makes her nuts at the same time as when she gets really drunk, she'll flirt with me. So I know where that is.
Get so angry at each other, you bang.
That'll never happen.
That's happened. I'm aware.
Yeah, it has happened in the past.
That has definitely happened to me once. Was a bad situation.
I'm too aware for that. She's, oh, dude.
You're too smart for that?
No, she reminds
too aware.
Me
too
much of Kara.
Too aware. No, not smart.
Too aware. she reminds me too much of Kara.
That is reasonable.
They have similar qualities.
That's funny.
And I'm like, no. Oh, I fell for that.
So,
I see the scorpion, and I'm the frog, and I'm not willing to... You're going to sit on that side of the river.
I like how you're the frog in that analogy.
So, my nickname for the longest time was Bullfrog. because in high school my nickname was Jeremiah.
Oh, man. I like how we got there, both of us, right away.
Yeah, it was Bullfrog Jeremiah, or my other high school nickname was the Passive Canadian, because I was just chilling. I never fought anybody in high school, and if anybody ever picked a fight with me, like, nine of the biggest jocks would jump in and fuck them up, because they were like, you don't fuck with the Passive Canadian. Well, I was like, all right, I'm okay with that.
So, to segue the conversation a little, since I have both of you on, I've actually always wanted to ask you both a question, because it's something I struggle with in writing and in D&D a lot. Yeah. And that is, and it works with the actual topic, which is good. It's mundane things. I'm really bad at writing. Or doing mundane.
So you mean like weather and time and
or like even
bullshit like that?
Yeah,
and like the lint in their pockets is
exactly like I'm really bad. Like I think Sarah, if you really think about it and look at the way I DM, like I'm
everything is big. Yeah, there's no small.
Yeah, I'm really bad with.
I was gonna say, you know that the secret to the small shit is literally ad lib.
But even then, like, I do that.
Right now, right? What's the weather, John? John, what's the weather right now?
Very.
No,
fair.
Don't look out the window. What's the weather right now?
The window's behind
him. The window's behind me. Very fair. I don't know. It's snowing.
It's negative 17 degrees right now. The snow is blowing so hard, it's almost sideways.
Is it actually?
But, like, okay. So,
no, it's not. Actually, it's not.
But I'll do that. Okay.
That's role playing.
Let's preface this a bit more. So I'll do that, right? Like I'll say like, oh, this is happening outside, or we were just in Icewind Dale, so we did like they're walking through the snow, and I'm
that's,
like, oh yeah.
That's why I used that example for use, right? It was because I knew you were just in Icewind Dale,
but,
right?
Like,
what's the weather like?
I'd say that, right? And then I would do nothing with it because like I'm really bad. With small things.
See,
like I would call side
big
quests.
Notes. So I would write big notes on my thing that this time we're going to use extreme weather conditions, and I would use that. And I'd write.
Sorry, you cut out there.
Yeah, we're losing
like
you.
Six
You're
times
in a passionate and it's coming out
on that page.
Repeat everything you said.
This is a thing I'm doing as I'm writing note, right? Because if you're like a red dragon,
oh, I think we just really lost you. Jeremy.
All I heard is if you're a red dragon, then beep beep. That is actually the best description I've ever gotten of a red dragon. If you're ever a red dragon. Everything dies. That's all you need to keep. Doesn't matter what's happening with the party, everything's dying.
I think I'm too good at writing the mundane stuff. I get too much of the mundane stuff and not enough of like the actual plot driving forward.
Which is really funny because I can be super descriptive, right? Like I can be really descriptive, but I'm really bad at running with it. Especially when I have an idea in my head. Sorry?
You're much more descriptive than I am from what I've seen.
I'm going to be right back.
Oh?
I think he said he's restarting his computer.
Well, he said something along his line.
I think so. But yeah, no, like, so you know I can be really descriptive, and that's great, but I'm really bad at running with it. To like I can plan something out and plan out every aspect to it. I can even have it multiple branches but it's planned, right? Especially when I DM, it's planned. Everything I'm doing is planned. I'm not I give you options, but you don't
have options are always driving the story forward.
Exactly.
Yes.
And like when I
don't give a lot of space to breathe and just hang around.
Because I'm bad with it. I really am. I'm really bad with it.
That's where I think I'm the best.
I can't. It's really hard for me to flounder. So, like in our game, when the bard goes and talks to the tavern owner about different things, I'm always struggling to figure out just mundane things to talk about, because in my mind I'm so focused on the story. That's what I'm doing.
Well, I think the bard has no end of things to talk about.
I know, so. And I've started keeping lists of stuff that I need to have like ready to, because he's the kind of guy who will find a random NPC and ask its name, and I'll be like, Bob.
Yeah, he is indeed.
It's Bob. That's what he does. What does he do? He collects ice. Why? Because it's what he does. Doesn't know why he does it. He's just done it for years. Well, let's get him something else to do. No, he doesn't want to do it. No, we're going to get him something else to do. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly the kind of person he is.
What's the old adage? Leave the expired milk on the shelf. You know, don't drink it. If it looks expired and smells expired, don't drink it. But that being said, like I've just been, and so like the reason I think it ties into first world problems is because that's one of the really things I'm bad with writing in anything, in my stories and in my campaigns, is like. For example, here's a really good one. I set up the big bad evil guys in your campaign, but none of you care. You care more about this one random NPC who burned you all. So much so, I had to write them into the end of Icewind Dale to burn you again. Yes?
Who is that?
She was on top of the tower.
Oh.
Yeah, I had to write her into the end to burn you again, just so I know that I would have you guys at least, you know, angry enough at someone to want to do something. And like, I've been doing this campaign for like 6 months now, and it took me the last 2 months to finally get one bad guy. One bad guy. You're all on board to actually fight. And I didn't know. I still don't know what I'm doing wrong. I still don't know. Like, I figured the only way to create a compelling bad guy is just create like someone who's just gonna literally slap you all in the face 6 times. It's honestly why I have a couple NPCs in our game who do that to you guys, but just individual people, because you know it's the only way I can seem. But I hate it because it feels so one dimensional. Well, and I'm so mad I said that when Jeremy wasn't here, because damn it, I'll repeat it. But
I think we care more about her simply because it's personal, right? Like, we've met her, we've interacted with her, whereas the other bad guys aren't personal. We don't know them. They're just sort of the big evil bad guy over there.
But you barely met her.
Honestly, I don't care about her. It's just the bard. Jan doesn't care about her. Not really.
We're talking about one thing I'm really bad in, it bleeds into being bad at mundane, is I'm really bad at creating, especially in D&D, an actual compelling villain. I know, it's shocking, considering who I am. It's really hard for me to... I can create...
You don't know... What?
See, here's the thing, Jeremy.
How do you not know how to
listen.
With a reoccurring villain?
Listen.
Does just not with the villains he wants us to hate.
I have the reoccurring big bad villains with the master plan that's going as planned, and I've planned it out since the beginning, and it's actually like an overarching plan that I put tons of detail into. But then I introduce this one minor villain, Jeremy. One minor villain. Mm-hmm. And they will derail the whole campaign to try and kill this person. So much so, like Sarah, I decided, just so that they don't go off campaign, I had to write this person into the end of Icewind Dale to burn them, just so they have a reason to keep going in the campaign. Because the bard in our campaign keeps asking, well, I don't really care. I don't really want to do this. But then he hates this one villain, and now he's actually doing stuff to try. Like, and I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know what I did wrong.
Just him.
So you made a more compelling minor villain than you did major villain?
Yes. Yeah, accidentally. It was not on purpose.
What is it that they find so compelling about this villain?
Great question, Sarah.
Sarah, what do you
find
so compelling about
him? I don't find very compelling about her. It's not me.
What is it that you hate? That's it?
I can't think that I really care about any of the villains. The only person that I care about, I guess there's the cat, and there's, what's her name? Scylla. Scylla? What is her name? You keep saying and writing different things every time.
S-Y-L-L-A.
There's definitely a C in there somewhere.
Nope. Wait, S-C-Y-L-L-A, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, Scylla.
Thank you, Scylla.
Okay,
Scylla. There's
like four different
ways. God. That's based on a god. Or a goddess. Like, in legit, like, actual pantheons.
Interesting.
Spoilers!
Pantheon, so there's going to be some work to that.
I mean, if Sarah had done any kind of curse research, she would have known, but she wasn't going to.
No, I'm still not going to. It's all good.
I mean, she asked the question, and she...
It's true.
...smart enough, so I filled it in.
That being Thank said, you. But yeah, no. So you like the cat. The cat that does...
Yeah, I don't care about any of
the MacGuffin. Really. You like my MacGuffin.
Yes, I like the MacGuffin a lot.
So, because I started with eight people, I had eight people in my initial group. And now I only have three.
Your Cheshire is the MacGuffin?
So I created a cat that got turned into it was a human rogue that got turned into a cat. And I had to put in this cat as at first because I just wanted the party to to lead the party somewhere. But once I lost so many people, they were in the middle of a dungeon and I lost like five people in the group. So all of a sudden, mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, so I guess the cat's actually going to do stuff. And I just for fun, like when I built the cat, it's a cat with 1 HP, 0 AC, but it's a level 20
rogue. Yeah, you were telling me.
Yeah, it's a level 20 rogue. And so like the whole party's about to die. And I'm like, it's only like the game 7. I can't let this happen. So the cat just appears, does what a rogue does, just sneaks up and just one hits with a sneak attack. And because I'm using a claw, it only does one damage plus sneak dice, which at level 20 is a lot of damage.
Yep. Yeah.
So that and I used the cat, I think maybe twice to save the party. Otherwise, the cat would just walk around and do nothing. Like combat would start, and I'd have the cat just disappear and do nothing. Just disappear. But no, everyone loves the cat. This.
Yes, John, we love the cat.
Did you not pay attention to Sailor Moon?
That's actually...
The two cats were like half annoying, the most half annoying characters in that series, but they're some of the most beloved characters in that series.
Just so we're clear, I loved that show because I loved Serena. Not Tuxedo Mask.
Yeah, like Luna and... fucking, I can't even remember the male one.
Stop. Luna, I know his name. I know his name.
One that everybody liked.
Luna was the black cat, and then you had Artemis, who was the white cat.
Yeah, Artemis. Yeah, Artemis was the white cat with the fucking black moon on his head.
That being said, of all the Sailor Scouts and all the characters, my favorite was always Serena. Meatball Head. She was my favorite. That's why I loved that show. Great writing. It was just a great show. If you've never seen Sailor Moon, you need to go watch Sailor Moon.
Not Jupiter. What's her name?
This is an adult metalhead telling you this. Definitely. Go watch Sailor Moon.
Venus. Venus was my favorite. Sailor Venus was my favorite. I couldn't remember her real name.
The other blonde one, right? 10 years. I thought it started with a B.
Yeah, the other blonde one, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about your villain problem, John, and like, we don't really know much about the villains at all. We know very, very little. So perhaps that's why.
I mean, that's In my campaign, that's maybe why you guys know about the hand, right?
Yeah.
Literally worked with him and, like, got to know him.
We know who he is.
But I've, like, this is what gets me. You could know everything about the villains, but no one asks. You've never asked. You've never asked about what's going on. You never asked about who are these things. Never in 6 months, not one of you asked. Not one of you. Even people who I've thrown in front of you, who I said are connected to everything. Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, you are correct.
How do I build a compelling villain if you don't care enough to ask about them?
That's fair.
Like,
you know how I did it, right, John?
Yeah.
I let you guys build up everything you loved. And I let you know this character. And then this character came, and he fucked your shit up and took everything you loved.
Whoa. He fucked up our shit, but he didn't take everything I love. Everything we love was taken by a goddamn PC.
That's true. But in the moment that the fucking hand caused, that chaos was caused by the hand. Now, John, you want to make a compelling villain? Make the cat the villain.
No, don't make the cat the villain. I love the cat.
Or a familiar villain.
That would be so perfect. It's a one-hit kill, but they could never touch him. So it'd be
they love him.
Really perfect.
Oh my god!
Mars has been messaging me a whole lot about what we should do next, and he really, really wants to go get the cat.
Who?
The bard. Oh. Like that is his
goal. Make him a familiar. Familiar, right? Because they don't die.
I was gonna say. I mean, the cat's in hell right now, in the eighth circle of hell. Might make a deal what's the guy's name? I always forget the fucking guy's name at the ninth circle.
Mistopheles?
Yeah, he might make a deal with Mistopheles to stop hell from freezing over.
I mean, you know, there's 9 demon lords, and all of them have some pretty enticing deals, depending on what you believe on.
Well, right now, eight.
And there's a whole race of, like, Yugoloths and Arcanoloths who, like, enforce those deals.
Just so you know, 8 in my campaign, I mean, the party doesn't know this, but 8 of the 9 circles of hell have frozen over.
We do know that.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did tell you that. Yes.
You told us that.
Yep. 8 of the 9 circles have frozen over. So what happens when you give the leader of the eighth circle of hell the power of the god of frost?
Because, I mean, if the players could get the cat, it could be an all-too-convenient rescue mission that they literally just now kidnapped a spy.
Except now I know all this.
Sure, but he could rephrase it in any way he wants, and he maybe not even use the cat.
That's true.
I have many others. Many others.
I mean, there are tattoos and other magical means of watching people that I can put on things.
I could just make something up. I'm God. I could just make something up and just be like, no, they could see you. Oh, how? Magic. What kind of magic? You don't know. It's old magic. Can I do an arcana check? Nope.
Vecna literally used a tattoo of an eye that he could see through on all of his followers. And the eye was shut. It was a tattoo of a closed eye, and when Vecna used it, the eye opened.
Wow, creepy.
Ooh, yeah. That's cool. That's a neat little flavor.
Yeah.
It's a nice little spice.
And then, well, and then in the case of Vecna, a lot of the time for his disobedient followers, the eye would always be open as a mechanical deal, whether he was using it or not, just to make that follower follow his shit a little, maybe more firmly.
Be more obedient.
Yeah, be more obedient, right? Yeah, thinking he's always watching, whether he is or not.
That's smart.
Okay. But just so we cover all the bases.
He was the Lord of Lies and the Father of Secrets.
What would you do, Jeremy? So if you were faced with my problem and you had one or two BBEGs, like real BBEGs that the party just doesn't focus on, like Strahd. Like you're playing Curse of Strahd and no one cares about Strahd. No one has any inclination towards Strahd. How do you bother salvaging it, or should I just?
So there is actually a thing in Strahd about how his, and I use this in quotes, his mother, the hag who creates him into a vampire, how she recruits the party to go check in on Strahd because she secretly loves Strahd, but isn't. Doesn't want him to know it because she thinks he'll hate him for his vampire undeath, which he does. So she actually lives in the Eternal Fog around Barovia. Cursed to never actually enter Barovia, because if she does, then Strahd will know of her existence. But at the same time, she loves Strahd so much, she never wants to be outside of his presence. It's like a double-edged sword, right? She cursed him to be a vampire, so he hates her for it, but she sees him as her only son. She was actually his godmother in life. And a secret hag, and loved him so much, and his parents neglected him, that she, in loving him, turned him into a vampire.
Does that mean love bites?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, so I am kind of missing the analogy. So what are you saying, that if I want to salvage it, I should make something that forces them to, at least interact with my BBEG?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have two BBEGs, you have one of them hire the party against the other. Actively.
No, that's a great idea, too. That's also going in the notes. So we have Dob as a villain. We have.
That's what I would say, though, Johnny. Pit but we don't,
one against the
we
other.
We don't care about them because we don't know anything.
And
about
then,
them.
Wait, there's
depending on how the party acts. If the party acts in line with that BBG that hires them, then it's not a BBG anymore. It becomes a new quest giver. Whereas on the opposite end of it, that BBG maybe fucks them over and becomes the secondary BBG.
Because that's
you works. Can go either way with it.
That works, because I technically have three destinations they could go to, and each, oh, that could work too. I could make one be like, oh, no, I'll stop what I'm doing. I was just trying to, prevent them from destroying reality.
My favorite is if you really want them to hate that fucker too, is you hire him, but you have him be a fucking prick about it when he hires him. Like, talks down to him, he belittles them, offers them less money than they're worth. But he's surrounded by fucking guards and people and like magic users and all this shit. So
and he's also super fucking strong.
But
yeah.
He's just a fucking cocksucker, right?
Oh, dude, I love that the most.
When the players leave, they're like, when you walk out of the castle, you're like, do we fuck this guy up or do we complete this mission? Because he might offer them less than what they're worth. But at the end of the day, you make sure the deal is so sweet, like that it's like it's a lot of money, or it's worth like maybe a legendary item or something like worth it, right?
But
because he's gonna be like, he might treat adventurers like shit, but at the same time, this guy knows what they're worth. So he'll offer them something he knows they'll take so that he can treat them like shit.
I love it.
Right?
I love it.
If you've ever read the Game of Thrones, the fucking the guy from the Two Towers, right?
Yeah. Walder Frey.
Right? Walder Frey for the Red Wedding. He is just a cocksucker.
Oh, just a cunt.
But he knows he can be.
One of my favorite characters, by the way. Right? Walder Frey. Walder Frey and the Greyjoys. House Greyjoy! Yes?
He knows he can do it. And that's the whole deal. Right? He's just an asshole because he can be. And maybe he's the one who hires the party. And now the party is deciding whether we work for this guy for this large amount of money that would be worth our time to maybe belittle ourselves for this cocksucker. Or we go to his rival.
I like it. I like these ideas. These all help.
The other thing I would say, John, is that I think part of the reason for it is just that there's been so many such different things that we've done. It's not like it's losing track of what we're doing, but there's so many things have changed over and over again until the point where it's kind of like what matters, or like we have to get this small thing done and we can't really focus on anything big until we get this done. I think it just, in some ways, it's been convoluted, and maybe that's the other reason why we don't think to ask about the big villain, because we're busy asking about the small ones.
Been running the game too much like Zeech.
I don't know what that means, but perhaps.
It's Lord of Change.
Yeah.
All good pointers.
Yeah, because, I mean, the last time that anything was in any sense, the last time that our focus really was on the big story was the wedding. And that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
Because then we had to deal with the Lich's phylactery and the Demi-Lich's phylactery and whatever.
Which you got.
And then we got
Which you have now.
Yeah, but then we got whisked away into Icewind Dale. It's just been like so many little problems that we have to deal with that it's hard to focus on the big problem we're trying to deal with. And that's not to say there shouldn't be little problems, but there's just been a lot of them, and a lot of them that have grown into big problems themselves.
Yes, that's what happens with problems. That's why I consider myself at least a decent, good DM. You know, you leave something off to the side, it's gonna grow. That's what happens.
Well, yeah.
And especially as time goes, it gets bigger. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, this happened. And you guys are like, oh.
But like, the world is ending essentially right now.
Yes.
And you keep saying like, you guys have ignored it for so long. And it's like, what were we supposed to do? There wasn't anything we could do about that. We were stuck somewhere else.
Here's the funny thing is, in my mind, there was so much you could do because you guys never asked the right questions.
Well, then maybe you're not giving us the hints to ask.
That's exactly what it is. Something I'm doing. I'm not leading you guys to ask the right questions.
Yeah. Because I have noticed that a lot of times that when we ask questions, you'll be like, is that all at the end, as if there's something else you want? But it's like, I can't think of anything else.
Okay. All good information. Cool. All right. You guys both gave me a lot to think about and some good ideas. Otherwise,
good.
I think that was a good talk. It's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't really about earthing problems, but you know.
I'm sorry no one out there in cyberspace had anything better to do, but I'm glad you spent it with us here. I am always C4. Beside me was Sarah Vike. And joining us halfway through, thank you for coming, Sir Jeremy. Sorry,
we're... I thought I was going to talk to John for an hour, and that's a terrifying thought.
That is a terrifying thought. And Sir Insaniac and the Great Grease Goblin will be with us, hopefully, next time. It's just work. And we'll probably be playing something. I imagine, like, Sketch or something. I don't know. It's just no schedule. It's all there is shows every Sunday and, you know, Wednesday, and that's just as about as, you know, scheduled as we get. Yeah.
All right.
That being said, thank you for watching. If you enjoyed it, you know, subscribe. That'd be cool. You don't have to, but follow, subscribe, that'd be cool. Other than that, I worked really hard on these end cards that are new, and I hope you out home are enjoying them, because you're about to get another one. So, you know, if they suck, just let me know. I like them, but that's obviously...
Where do you fight?
That's obviously, like, bias.
No, you're not biased. Don't be ridiculous. Do